All right, Rossi. I know you like these kinds of questions. So, if you were to have two dicks, would you want them stacked vertically or horizontally?
Well, if you talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about
pop culture
that they like, and the first thing they'll say is the beat.
Get yourself addicted.
Well, I can't. What are we doing here? Welcome into the Pop Culture Pile Driver. Get addicted to the content. I am Jason Rossi. Humbled to be with you today. You can follow me on all social media platforms at Jason D. Rossi. You can follow along this little show here on the Twitter machine, where we can give you the best of the best in 280 characters. I don't even know how much it is anymore. And GIFs. It's fun. You can follow that at Pop Culture PD. And if you smash that follow button, it'll instantly make you less of a murderer, or maybe less of a suspect, whichever you prefer. I don't know. Just live your life and be decent. With me, as always, my tag team partner in the podcast sphere. He can be followed along most social media platforms at BillyD2411 over on Twitter, where he's the bad boy of Twitter, Billy Biceps, getting banned for showing off that big D and or copyright infringement, I guess. He is Billy D. There's no OnlyFans this week because what you just said, I can't top. I'm uncomfortable and disgusted. Billy D, what's going on, man?
I think I would go horizontally, but yeah, not much. We had a mandate.
It's the visual, Bill. You screwed me up with the visual. Most things I can handle, but the visual, it's just, yeah. Go ahead. No, it's not something to think about. It really isn't. I could have went through my entire life without thinking of that.
Well, for those of you listening and not watching, Rossi is the one with the guns out today. He's wearing,
I know,
sleeveless.
Oddly enough, yeah, it's my look at that. Look, there's a one angle that you might see a muscle, not right there.
A little anyway. Tricep.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I got a little boop. Nope, anyways, so you were saying, Bill, we went on a mandate.
We did. It was odd. Do you want to get into that now?
We'll get into it in a second. So obviously today we're going to be reviewing Scream 2022. Appreciate Ben Schweiman, Paige Fabretti, and Rich Keefe for joining us for the roundtable. Got a lot of good feedback on that. I think there might be something there. I'll just say, I think there could be something there, Bill. I think there could be, we review usually like retro movies. We do a lot of wrestling, more to come. We do, stuff in the field of, music. I think that's like our specialty, but I think there's something about like roundtable previews. That might be something we do different from some of the other podcasts, especially in the DSG. I think, for those of you that listen, I'm sure that listen to like Mac and Goo, I think their 21 questions is an excellent same kind of style, but I think they kind of have like a preview and review. I don't know. There's just something there. And I thought we got some really good feedback, and I thought everybody was, partook really well, and we could do more of that stuff. But we went to go see Scream. It wasn't the timely fashion we would have expected or wanted. We both kind of we start Wednesday after release of, you could technically see it on a Thursday. We both wanted to see it over the weekend. Things just kind of happened. Things happen. Life happens. But yeah, we were able to see it at a movie theater. We definitely have some interesting stories there. We'll get to in a moment. Obviously, follow along on all social media platforms. Please subscribe to this podcast. If you're hearing my voice right now in Billy's in moments, hit subscribe over on iTunes. Leave a 5-star review. We'd go a long way to helping us out and make us feel a little bit warm and cozy during this cold, cold winter. And also, you can check out the music for this podcast. Got to give credit to our guys. Oh, yeah. Bill, anything going on in the world of Oh, Yeah?
Yeah, check out Lower Than You. It's a nice little ditty. It's more of a summery vibe. So like, if you're sick of the cold, it's a good way to put on the music and forget about it.
Yeah. So, all right. So really, we normally have all sorts of little segments here. I think this one will keep it meaty just with Scream. It's the movie of the time right now. Spider-Man has been put to the wayside. It is now all about Scream. I think it was an interesting timing of release, even though they normally release it in this like winter season, usually December in the past. But Bill, yes, we did go to see this movie. It was a 7:30 and final showing of the theater we saw. So why don't you tell the folks about it?
All right. So just the theater experience, we could have walked in without paying. There was maybe like 40 people in the entire building, including staff and other moviegoers. And we sat not next to, probably like four seats in between us and a gentleman who was snoring during the majority of this movie. He was out cold. It was amazing. I'd never seen anything like it before in my life.
It was insane. Like, we're not talking like you look over and the guy's nodded off. We're talking like, it was like Don't Wake Daddy style. Mm-hmm. Like, every so often the guy would kind of pop up, but he didn't pop. He popped up like most people when you wake up in some form of shock, like you're in a movie theater. He'd be like, and then you see him like eat a little popcorn and he passed back out, just to paint a little bit of a picture. It was a smaller theater, probably about 7 rows total, but there was a lot of spacing. And with current protocols, if you buy 2 tickets, the surrounding 2 tickets. So if you buy 2, you basically have like a space of 4.
Yeah.
So we had, there was an aisle seat empty, Billy, me, empty seat, then 2 empty seats, and the sleepy gentleman who it was like, I've been in some really odd, like I went to see Knives Out. It was one of the most unique movie experiences because there was like this weird couple that kept moving seats, getting kicked out. It was bizarre pre-pandemic. This was right up there because this guy was just snoozing.
Like, he was done.
He snoring loud. It was really bizarre and a little distracting in moments for me. I was closest to said gentleman. I was trying to get Billy's attention, but not be that guy the whole time. And then eventually, once you notice, you couldn't
unsee. That was amazing. It was also the first time I had been to a horror movie on my own accord. Like, I wasn't like brought to see like Saw or The Ring, and it was a movie I was excited for. So other than the gentleman snoring, it was a pretty good theater experience.
Yeah, and to go back to your point about like the theater being empty, so I bought the tickets online, and previously at this movie theater, there was somebody up front that scans everything. And there wasn't that person. So I had to go up to this. And so I had these pretty large water bottles I was going to bring in, and I was like, I tried to put one in my arm, like my shirt was a little too tight, so I'm like, okay, that's not going to, like, it would have looked really bizarre. Then I went back, I went in, scanned it. Billy was a few minutes behind me, so I'm like, screw it. I went out, literally just walked in the theater.
Oh, yeah,
with the water bottles, like, in plain sight.
No one checked if I had a ticket. I just walked right into the theater. It was kind of nice.
So I think we've decided, I think I'm going to try one time. Like, maybe I'll buy my food there because I snuck just about every item I could in that I would have wanted. But I think next time I'll buy like popcorn or I'll do something like that. But I'm going to see if I can walk straight in on a night.
And you had yourself a nice little margarita.
I did. Oh, yes. And that was my give back too. And it was nice. It was good. They don't make them live, but that's okay. But yeah, so that was our like lead in to Scream. I also want to mention one thing. A lot of previews in this film. That's what, when last week I mentioned it's 2 hours, 15 minutes. It's with trailers. Not a lot of horror trailers in it.
Say none.
I think there was one. I think there was one, but I can't remember now. And the only other thing was funny is they're running a Jackass trailer bill that says it's released in October, which the movie comes out November 4th.
Really?
they're just running an old ass trailer. Like, they didn't even care to update. The guy, whoever's there is there. But anyways, let's get to it, Bill. Scream 2022, technically by the title Scream. It's going to mess up. It's good for algorithm and searching. You can tell movies now. That's what it's about. It's about Twitter, Instagram, you know, algorithm of using YouTube, the search engine optimization. Scream 5 wouldn't be as catchy and wouldn't be as, you know, I guess as searchable or get as many searches. So Scream.
I did like it. Yeah, I do think it could be Scream. What do they call it in the movie? Scream Requel.
Yeah, the requels, which I love that we'll get into this, but I do just want to give credit to like creating. They finally, like, somebody came out with what these things should be called in like a mainstream way. I've heard people call it that in like reviews, but like now that like I think that's what we're going to officially be calling these movies, which is awesome, which I didn't see coming because last week we all said, what is this movie going to be called in like 10 years? It could be called the Scream Requel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think so.
They didn't see that coming. I still think it's going to be called probably just Scream 2022. But with that being said, movie kicks off with our classic Scream movie franchise open. Girl or human being alone in a home. Phone rings the landline, which was really funny because she was texting. Landline rings, Bill. She's like, I'm not answering this. Like, clearly it's from my parents or something. This is Jenna Ortega. And eventually she does answer, and then, oh no, she doesn't. And then the text message with her friend Amber says, answer the phone, which I thought was a nice little way of kind of like leading us there. I thought the opening scene overall, we can get into as many spoilers as we want. We're not spoiler free, but like, I think it was awesome. It was like bloody. It was vicious.
It wasn't to die for.
I like it.
It was great.
I like it.
Huge fan of the Scream opens. I think that and the endings are the hallmarks of the movie, their calling card. And that's how you build a good movie, is you have a good open, a good close. That's how you build a good story, montage, whatever you're making. If the beginning is good and the end is good, that's kind of what you remember and walk away from. So I Absolutely. Thought it was great. I like the fact that they didn't kill her. She was awesome. The way that they kind of convinced her to pick up the landline. I don't have a landline, and if I did, I would never pick it up. It's literally for emergencies.
It's literally, I think the only way you would have is if you got somebody texting you saying, answer the phone. Like, honestly, yeah. Like, why else would you answer? Would you ever answer a landline? Mm-hmm. But I did think, like, Jenna Ortega overall, like, technically she wasn't our, like, well, she wasn't, like, the final girl, I guess. It's mm-hmm. between her. She plays Tara and Sam as her sister, played by, what is it, Melissa Barrera, who I thought was, like, I left the theater after thinking, like, she was really good.
Oh,
but Jenna Ortega played, I think, such a good victim. Is the best way to put it. Like, she was attacked. We kind of bounce around through this movie where we see she did survive, which was fascinating to me because the whole movie, I will just say, and I didn't want to say it to in theater, I'm like, she's involved. Like,
no,
she's involved.
She couldn't have been, though, because it wasn't like any of the other killings that were involved, like where, you know, Stu or like Billy gets stabbed by Stu in the Scream mask and he's like, ugh. Like, they broke her fucking ankle. They stabbed the shit out of her. Like, you could build it up in other characters' minds who weren't there for it. Maybe she's involved. But, like, as the audience, she couldn't have been involved. Like, it would have been ridiculous for her to have that much fear, that much, like, who was that benefit? Like, it was only benefiting the audience if, and that wouldn't have made sense. You know what I mean? Like, that was only put on for the audience. That makes no sense.
Here's why I thought she'd be involved. She wasn't involved before that.
Her survival after that.
Her survival made her involved, if that makes sense. So I thought this, I kind of felt this vibe because I'm like, they're gonna do something. I want to just throw things out. We're not gonna be overly, this is more stream of conscious kind of review. Yeah. We can go through our normal stuff, but we're not gonna know the legacy of this film, we'll say. But I thought they did such a wonderful job, like in that opening scene, to make me believe that she would be involved. Cause I'm like, they're gonna do something different. They have to. The whole theory of this film is they're rebooting it, but they're kind of bringing it to the next level. She mentions the Babadook, how like these new movies are like thoughtful. Like it's all about more the psychological side. Bill, I'm pulling a goo on you. What are you clicking away at over there?
There you go. Sorry.
You're fine. Listen, I don't care. You can go on Pornhub after. But listen, you're lining up your tabs. I know your style. No, but in all honesty, it was like, I think she was really like, that's why I thought she would be involved. Because I'm like, they're going to do something different. I felt her victim, like, survival would be, like, play into it. Be like, hey, you survived a ghost face? Like, because we know Nevis, Sidney Prescott, David Arquette's character, all of a sudden, Dewey, and Gale Weathers have all survived, but none of them have ever turned, you know? I thought we'd finally have, like, a survival turn. That's why I kind of thought this movie would go. That if you survived.
Yeah, then I could see that, like, they maybe convince her behind the scene and you get, like, the, you know, once she found out you were Billy's daughter. You know, I've,
yes.
But like, for me, to me, it would have been impossible because like, that was like the way she survived, like, you know, I missed every one of her organs. I'll get them this time. Like it was brutal. Like they intended to fucking murder her. Like,
well, no, they didn't
to the
though.
Audience. They did wanted, though.
No, they didn't. No, they wanted her to survive.
No, they didn't.
They did. Cause they wanted the
they
sister.
They never said that.
No, but see,
it became part of the plan later, I'm sure. They stabbed the shit out of her. There's no way you can stab somebody that many times and expect them to fucking live.
I agree with you, but I think the theory, like looking back, is that they wanted her to survive to draw the sister in and keep her there.
She would have came anyways.
I guess a funeral could be the other side of it, right? Which it is funny because I wonder what these writers, again, they're the writers of Ready or Not, which I highly implore, Bill, that you watch that. If you like this movie, you'll love Ready or Not. Fun, fast pace. Pacing with this movie, I want to get to in a minute. But I thought that's where I was kind of like, I've been thinking, we've had a lot of time now since we've seen it. If we did this review the night of, first of all, I think we got to start with them. Well, at least get to this. Did you like this movie, Bill?
I loved it. I mean, yeah, I thought from a standpoint of like horror movie stuff, like when the police take 11 minutes to get there and not even like in theory, like it was longer. It was like 11 movie minutes and like probably theoretically 15 because you don't see the kid get dressed and we'll get to that scene. But like other than like stupid movie, I had so much fun. I thought it was a great, you know, whodunit. And then like it was just enjoyable to be watching the movie. It wasn't necessarily well written, but it was fun.
Yeah.
In certain senses, it wasn't well written from like structure, yeah. But like they did a good job of rebooting the franchise.
I think for me, and I said this last week, Halloween Kills set such a low bar for recent like horror movie reboots. And I know they did Halloween the 2 years ago, which was really good, I thought. But like this was good. I think it was like strong. Like I really enjoy watching it. I did something I normally don't do. I watch some reviews, which I really hate because it kind of gets my mind going one way or the other. But like I think some people like this movie too much. I haven't listened to any of our guys yet. I have to save that stuff.
I think only Dork did it, and I did listen to them just because I was bored yesterday.
Yeah, no. How dare you be bored? No, you do. You live your life. I'm just saying that's just – I usually always – we've talked about this. I try to keep it like not listen to anything, then come out and say things. But this to me like I thought was really good. But like I've listened to some reviews and some people that like, you know, if you do YouTube search of Scream review with some of the people you'll see, like telling me this is like one of the best ever to like redo a horror film. I'm like, whoa, that's all. I think this was a strong film for what it was. I don't think it was like, I don't stand here today and go, wow, dude, that was awesome. And like all the things they did and the reasons everything happened was amazing. I think, you know, some of the flaws for me was like at the end, I'm kind of like, did these killers really have to, like, what are we doing? Like, this seems a little extreme. Like, just,
well, yeah, I mean, they're fucking insane.
But like, and they didn't even kill, I'm sorry, I just have to say this. They didn't kill Sidney Prescott. If your goal at the end of the day was to kill Sidney Prescott, kill Sidney Prescott, kill her. That is as simple as can be, in my opinion. That was like, if Billy, you were out to go eat a cheeseburger, you're not going to go to, let's say, Shake Shack, stare at Shake Shack's menu for 45 minutes, then walk out of the place not getting your Shake Shack.
I don't see a lot of horror movies, but it's kind of like the James Bond thing, right? You want to dance around with the supervillain for a few minutes and then give him the chance to escape, and then he does. But I do think there were a few moments in this movie that were just so simple to be fixed, like the scene... Just do the scene a little bit quicker when the fucking mother is driving to the house. Like, just have him getting ready for dinner a little bit quicker and get killed. Like, I know you want to build the tension, but like, she called the cops in like legitimate time 7 minutes ago. Like, where is everybody?
She's the sheriff of the city. Yeah. It's not like she called like me or you calling. Not that they wouldn't rush, but like when the sheriff says all units to my
house. Diverge from my house.
In a car that she, like, she's not calling from the phone. She's calling through whatever the two-way system.
She says, I have the killer on the line.
Oh, like, yeah, she texts. It was that to me.
Insane.
And where this is where we're getting nitpicky, but like that is like, come on, clean it up. And the one thing about all Wes Craven producing these and Kevin Williamson writing these, the pacing has always been outstanding in Scream movies. To watch the first four, even though I think three is trash, the pacing's pretty like bing, 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 bing. This movie took a very odd halt during this scene. Tension, like you just mentioned, was there. But man, oh man, I was like, this woman, that was an intense scene. I'll give it that. Like, I'm staring at your son.
Well, yeah,
like,
just don't have her call the police or
exactly have her freak out. Much,
there's a way to do it where I'm not sitting there in the audience being like, what the fuck? Like, the cops should fucking be here by
she
now.
She gets stabbed, which is an awesome scene, by the way, when Hicks, Sheriff Hicks gets stabbed right as she's about to enter their house. And then it's kind of, the movie, this part was all kind of sad too, because then like the son, you see like everything he did, which made it, maybe this was their point, and this is what these writers were doing, was like, we're going to make you feel like his mother's dead on the port or in the pathway. He's just like getting stuff ready. You think they were having sushi, like just your average day, cleaned his body, or right, putting things down. Then eventually gets absolutely murdered, gets stabbed in the throat, and then gets stabbed in the, what is this? The side of the cheek, which was.
Yeah, oh, that was scary. That one was brutal. My only question is, was that the first ever broad daylight murder, like outdoors? Like, I know people have been killed during the day.
No.
But has anyone ever been killed outside during the day?
In Scream, yes, Randy.
No, but he's brought into the van.
Yeah, but that's, I still
like,
would do
this
that.
Is killed. She's killed on her front fucking lawn.
Sorry.
Like, nobody sees that.
It's and it's not like we're talking about your average.
And he just comes out of the porch like, hey, I'm here. Like,
it was bush. Like, it was the bush. Yeah. It was just, hey, it was like literally like that. What's that random gif of the guy in the yellow suit who's like around the tree, like licking his chops?
Oh, yeah,
that
one Spice Adams.
Yes, my thank you. It's literally that. That's like what Ghostface was. But dude, the more you say it though, like, I don't want
to. That scene was insane.
It really, it was. That, I think the scene that, this one was right up there, because we talked about this. Still, to me, the number one annoying scene of the film to me was Dewey's death. Spoiler.
Yeah, I mean, that you one didn't need to have him get off. A call. Just literally once he turns around, have him pop up.
That's it. Or how about this? As soon as the door closes and he's walking towards the body, the body just pops up and's like, F you, gotcha.
Or the body's gone.
Or the body, I mean? Exactly.
That's like a classic, like, yes, like Gale technically killed him. I did really like the, it was an honor when he fucking stabbed him, or it was probably, it had to have been Amber at that point.
That's what I was going to say. I think it was. I don't know for sure.
And like the fucking boyfriend, he's got to play more dead. And we'll stop picking it apart real quick. My last pick apart here before we really get into the movie.
That's what we do.
Is when, because I love the movie and I don't want to be Mac and Food here when they reviewed Spider-Man, just ripping it apart and then giving it a good score. But when Gale and Sydney kill the girl and they're just standing up, they fucking beat the shit out of her, they burnt her. And then the whole fucking thing is happening on the floor between Billy's daughter and the boyfriend. Like, what the fuck are they doing? Nothing.
Nobody cared about anybody. When Dewey was in the fight a little bit earlier than that, like you said, but before in that scene where they shoot Ghostface. Mm-hmm. Literally, Dewey's in like a fist fight with a gun and all that stuff, and the boyfriend's on the floor. Mm-hmm. Now we understand. And the two, the sisters, Amber and Tara, are just like, I'm not, Tara and Sarah, I forget her name. That's her real name. But like, they're just like, everyone's putzing around. It's like, help this guy. This guy is here to save your life. He is only here because you dragged him out of his trailer ass home. Mm-hmm. And guess what? He's here for you. And you're just like, oh, there's a gun and a knife kicking around. Whatever. And then he shoots. Ghostface is like, oh, glad you're okay.
If I'm an editor, I just tighten the scene up a little bit, or I write it so when Gale and Sydney finally kill her, like, they're so beaten up, they're on the ground, something like that. All right. Anyway, but now we can get into things in these movies.
Yes. I wanted just one last thing. It's not a huge critique. It was just, I think our big critique to this, a little bit of pacing in moments, the Hicks scene, maybe in over time, we'll go back to that scene, Bill, and be like, wow, that really, like I said, it was very eerie because mother's dead outside and we're watching this boy like set things up, but it's like, it's not that kind of movie either.
No.
I just want to say, like, again, the motives at the end are a little bit like they want to make a new movie. They want to I don't know. I wasn't like enthralled with it. In the selection of killers, I thought, well, let me just ask you, what did you think of boyfriend and Amber being the killers? What did you think of that?
So it was almost too obvious that I had eliminated them at a point. Like once we got to Stu's house, I kind of figured the boyfriend was in on it because the second he went downstairs, I was like, he's a fucking killer, obviously. And then once started thinking back on like all of the other stuff that had happened, like she gets attacked the second she leaves the room in the hospital. So it's like, all right, he's there on almost all of these things. He probably drove up the first night to help Amber attack the little girl. So I thought they were good choices.
Little girl.
And the fucking crazy girl from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, you kind of just knew they were going to cast her as a killer because she's such a good fucking psycho.
Great look. So, she's a great look. She's a great, I actually like Jack Quaid a lot in this movie too. It's so funny because maybe this is just, I'm a simpleton when I see movies, but I actually didn't want him to be the killer. I was almost a little upset. I was like, kind of just came across like such a good dude. But
yeah, I mean, that's part of the good thing about Scream is you're like, I don't want this guy to be the killer because I liked him. I hate Jack Quaid. I hated him in this movie. Oh. I did thought when he made the heel turn to full killer, he was pretty good.
Okay, wow. What did he do to you? What did Jack Quaid ever do to you?
He just sucks in The Boys, I think. Like, I just hate that beta male being kind of like a baby.
That's a character, Bill. He's playing a character.
No, I know, but maybe he does it well. Maybe I'm not supposed to like him because I fucking hate him.
I was just going
to
say, it sounds like he's doing his right job.
Yeah. Other casting, like the Meeks kids, I thought they were a little too over the top, but I still loved them.
Yeah. Real quick on the Meeks. So it was bizarre to me. Like, okay. Say what you want about me for a minute. I'm just going to say this. I didn't understand, I'm all about inclusivity, but color, but like, how did, I think they were black, right? Like, or some.
Randy Meeks' sister probably married a black guy.
But I didn't, like, I would have just liked to have seen something where like we got a little more, because I thought originally, this is what I thought at one point, I thought they were going to be adopted and I thought that was going to be part of the story. And I thought they were going to be the killers. That was another thing. My head was going all over the place during the film. So I just wanted, because I was like, oh, why are we not? Because again, there was another thing in this film. Some parents just not involved. So like the parents of Tara and now Sam, we never found out who the mother was. So we find out, obviously, in this film, we'll just touch upon this, Billy Loomis was impregnated.
Which I called, by the way.
You did. And we're going to get to my zombie call in a second.
Yeah.
But Billy Loomis impregnated a woman when they were younger in a one-night stand, allegedly. That's where Sam came from. Even though I'm starting to think age-wise, does that make sense?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, she's older. Dating, no, it does.
She's older. But she's only 22.
Oh, but okay, hold on. So
it's
22,
25 years.
I know, but we don't know exactly. Oh, yeah, because they said 25.
You're not pregnant for 3 years. But either way, if you throw that
on,
piece out.
Can we not
if
clean that up?
If you throw that piece out.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's still, I really like the idea of her being Billy's daughter. Again, like you said, I thought she was fantastic. The other people were kind of like, we mentioned the two killers. Amber, I thought was great. What's his name? Quaid's Jack kid Quaid. Was good.
Richie.
Yep. And then the other people, like the girlfriend of the Meeks boy, she was fine.
Yeah, but you have to remember, first movie she's ever been in, and I, again, she's like a Russian model, and I never, like, I actually kind of liked her at different moments, too. She wanted to do the nasty. I loved his reason. That was a great scene. See, these little, like, and we'll get into the meta stuff in a moment, too, but, like, he was, like, there were some really good lines in this film, like, where he was like, I'm not sure you're not the killer. Like, they were literally us. Like, that's the one thing, like, the meta on meta in this film, where it was like, nobody, if your girlfriend wants to do it with you and you're not thinking you're in a horror movie, because that was the thing, like they were talking about being in a horror movie. The killers were saying, hey, this is going to be a movie. It was, that was all really good. I thought that stuff was good. I thought
the Meeks girl was good at points. I didn't like her over the top explanation
of the
horror movie. That was a little too,
but it was cool.
Unnatural. It was cool. I liked it. I like introducing the word requel.
Yes.
The way I really liked what happened was the Dewey scene where he tells them how it's going down. That I thought was good. And if she had dialed her performance back in that moment just a little, I might have liked it better. But either way, you know, they set up all the meta moments good. Maybe it was a little too meta. I did love the Scream 8, the Jack dude wearing what you were wearing with the silver Scream mask. There were a few tells that, like, Quaid was a little bit more into movies than he led on. So that was like a nice little, you know, breadcrumb that they left there. They did a nice job of, now that I even think of it, like the your mom was a drunk, because the first call to the house, Ghostface says, I met her in a meeting.
Yes. Great point. That's a good pull. I forgot about that.
So that's how you assume that somebody found out about Billy, because honestly, once he's dead and your husband leaves you, if you're drunk at a bar, it's a pretty cool story to tell. Like, if you're
honest, like, if you're single, and I don't know if that's another big part of this that I was thinking, like, how did this all happen? If she's single, like, eventually these stories are going to come up and be like, say you get a little serious with somebody in a relationship, you're gonna be like, I actually, like, my daughter, my firstborn was, you know, the son of Billy Loomis, who was a killer in 1996. Like, that's going to come up. You're going to say,
I wouldn't fucking tell anybody that.
You, Bill, in your next, just gets real for a second, in your next relationship, when it's getting to the serious point, you're not going to talk about your history?
I hope that she would lie to me. I don't want to know that, like, your first child was a...
Bill, you're out of your mind. You want that to come up later? Like, that's a good...
I don't want it to come up at all. I don't want to know.
We don't know. Well, here's the thing. Billy Loomis's dad, number one. We don't know who Jenna Ortega's Tara character's father is. We don't know who the mother is either. Like, that, there was some weird stuff with, like, parents. So I was also holding on to that. I'm like, I wonder if parents are going to be more involved. I feel like that was another thing they were kind of, like, dancing around. And I don't think it was necessarily lazy. And it's also, like, how many more characters could they introduce? I assume that, too. But I did think, like, the mother was going to pop out at the end. Like Sydney's father. Like, they had her tied up. Like, where was she?
Yeah, that's
like, I know they said she's in some, like, she's in France at some business or some crap, but I'm like, your
Davey
daughter
made
was
a
just...
great point. Yeah, you would come home.
Davey of course, like, you would come home. Home Alone, they're flying back because they left the kid at home. Your daughter was almost murdered in your house, in your house, and you don't, like, what are we doing?
And then the other one was attacked at the hospital, then attacked again. Like, eventually, you're getting on
and people are dying left and right. The sheriff is murdered in her lawn. Get home, get home to your kids. But yeah, so I there was a lot of stuff I liked about this. I loved the Randy, like, tribute. I love that these guys kept – I think he is the most loved character in this franchise. I truly believe that now more than ever. They dedicated two characters to his family both who have survived, by the way, both are surviving members, which I don't know how the son survived or the boy survived, but they showed him getting the thumbs up at the end very quickly. The daughter survived, or the girl who, she disappeared for a while too, by the way. She was just like toast.
Yeah, she might have hit her head. The other girl got fucking her head blown off. Jesus.
That was amazing. Great scene. Like, yeah. You think I'm the killer? No, because I am. Pop! Oh, got her! But that, they both survived, but like the Randy, like the whole, the fact that like the family, think about this, 25 years in the future has a whole shrine above their living room, like in their living room or their, I guess some people call those parlors. Like, that's amazing. Like, I'm sorry, if I croak tomorrow, my family ain't going to have a shrine to me.
Yeah, I was just going to say my nieces and nephew probably wouldn't do that. But if you remember from Scream 3, Randy's sister was all in on movies. I think she was even working on a movie set. So that was a nice little touch. Same actress. Yeah, that was nice. I did like that they brought her back. What is it? Keith pointed out that they, in Dewey's trailer, he had a little memoriam for his sister who died, who never gets mentioned in any movie. So that was nice. I thought they had a lot of nice touch tones to all of the other Scream movies. Like, even Scream 3 kind of gets brought up. Like, it's they did a good job in justifying kind of everything.
Yeah, I think that, so there's where I think some of the people are like saying it's like extremely good, because I did notice that there was little, I like your breadcrumbs analogy, there was little breadcrumbs for everything in the past, including Scream 3. They never mentioned, like, the thing that I like that they also do is they don't over, even though this would happen in real life, they don't over mention the past. Like, we never hear about Billy's mom in this movie. We only hear about Billy, which I thought was fantastic, and we'll get to that in a second. But like, they, like, we know about Billy and Stu throughout this film. They're really going back to the original for a lot of their source material, but there's little like, oh, like nods to the other three without getting full into detail. Like they say, we haven't had like murders like this in 10 years. When they talk about the movie, the meta side of this, like, you know, stab date went too far, kind of, I think that was more of a shot at like the Saw movie style, but like, they just kept going and going, and then they lost track of where they wanted to go. Let's go back to that original material was the kind of the motives, and this will be a better movie, and we're going to do all the things that they didn't do, like kill YouTube, which they didn't do. But I thought that stuff was really strong. I there's definitely way more pros than cons. I just am not sitting here being like, holy crap, Bill, this was outstanding. I give full credit to these creators, the writers, the directors for taking a film. They have balls too. It takes a lot of balls. Like, they named a character Wes, which was super good tribute. And he dies. And I think, not that like that ties, but like, and then they did like the whole party at the end when you think about it at Stu's old house. Cause Amber, you know, that was a good tie-in for her too. The reason she became this person is she found out the house she lived in was of a murderer when she was they were teenagers. He was famous. So she's kind of got obsessed with it like that. Jack Quaid's motivation,
psychopath.
Yeah, he's just like a wackadoo, right? Like, I was trying to...
He's a stab movie purist who wanted to recreate it, kind of like the other kids.
He wanted to make it go back to the original material. That's right. I was just... That's
so, I like that. Like, I thought the motivation was pretty good. I thought the way they dreamed it up was pretty good. I really like the fact that Billy's daughter was a thing. One, because I called it. And two, because if you would went into that movie knowing Billy had a daughter, you would have thought that's probably the killer.
Yes. But no. And that was another thing throughout the film. Like, they kind of were like, is she like a cuckoo pants where she's like killing people on the side? And
we didn't fucking loved, and it was a little over the top and it was a little bit too much, but that's what a horror movie should be, in my opinion. When she stabbed the shit out of Jack Quaid.
Dude, at the end part.
And slowly fucking cut his throat. It was fucking awesome. Here's your ending.
That was great. I just, let's get to the Billy Loomis thing, then we'll get to the end or anything else you want to clean up with this. The Billy Loomis tie-in, like, once we first saw him, I literally almost jumped out of my seat because I was like, it's a zombie! It's going to happen. I'm taking credit. It's not really a zombie.
Kinda.
But I said ghost zombies.
But he had blood on himself, which is the only thing, and Davey pointed this out too, and, like, you might know exactly what he looks like because he was a serial killer. There were probably pictures. But you wouldn't know what he looked like moments before.
When he died?
Yeah. I understand just that. Had, you could have just had regular Skeet already.
He
didn't need to be, like...
We're nitpicking. I get that. But I still think that I actually like that because it made him seem more like if it was just him in a button up, he ain't going to look like a scary. Like, and that's our, and again, you said like they did stuff for the fans here. That was for us. That was for the viewers. I liked that story a ton. And I like that she almost didn't trust herself in moments. Like, is she going to turn crazy? Like when she had a gun in her hand in moments, and was she going to become just like her father?
Yeah, that's what she told the sister in the hospital when she saved her life the second time, or the first time, or third time. I
mean, that technically was the first time. But
that
yes.
poor girl was fucking going through it.
She was up there with Tim from Jurassic Park. She got her ass kicked. She tried. First of all, what's going on at that hospital too? Like, can we get some employees? No employees on the
entire
floor.
They did say we'll move you to a private floor, but there's usually more than just one fucking security guard, and it had to have been loud.
That's a good
point.
There
was shooting and stabbing. Your part.
Yeah. I forgot about the private floor.
But even still, on a private floor, there's other private patients.
And I'm sure there's cameras like, oh, crap, this girl's wheeling down the hallway. What's going on? Oh, look, that security guard's dead.
Mm-hmm.
But again, suspension of disbelief. I still think it would have been a better setting in a school. We talked about that after the movie. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how you'd get her there. But with that, going back to like the whole Billy part, though, I liked it. The de-aging looked amazing, by the way. That's
pretty
clearly
good. I mean, he's still probably a fox.
He looks good, but if you see pictures of him, that's not him. They did all the de-aging stuff to his face, but I thought it looked really good. I did watch our guy, speaking of Randy Meeks, I did watch Jamie Kennedy review this film. So he said, because I was worried, I thought he was going to be in this movie. I really did. So he said that him, Matthew Lillard, who played, why can't I think of his name all of a sudden? Whose house were they at the end? What was his character's name? Stu. And Ski Ulrich were at a con in July of last year. And they were all talking. I guess they all have the same agent too. So they go to these horror cons. Like, you guys go to meet people like them. And so at one point Skeet said, did you guys get the call? And both of them are like, what call? And they didn't know exactly what he's talking about, because they're just shooting the breeze like me or you would. And it's like, if we were some place called us, and it was like, he was like, you guys didn't get the call. And he's like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. And he's like, all right. And he kind of like killed the subject. And right then Jamie's like, don't tell me anymore. I don't want to know anymore. Cause Jamie keeps talking about how he's a big fan of this, and he mm-hmm. appreciates these guys. He said he did get certain phone calls from them throughout time, like advice stuff, but never once the movie was in production. And he didn't know what Matthew knew or didn't know.
With him, honestly, it's probably the biggest regret of the franchise that they didn't keep him alive.
Yeah, and I truly believe, I was thinking about this because I was waiting to hear what he had to say about this. I follow his YouTube channel. It's whack. He just sits there and tells stories. I like him. But I just had a feeling. I thought they would bring him back somehow. I just thought there'd be something stupid. But I didn't know how serious this movie was going to take itself. And I think one thing we can agree on, I think they did a good job of like taking the matter of the movie, of what the movie was, seriously, but also having so much fun with all the meta side of things and doing like ridiculous things and going places like gorier, more intense kills, and talking about how like horror has changed, which it clearly has. We don't have the slasher genre anymore. It just isn't a thing. It's, you get one-offs in movies on Netflix, but you don't get like, that's not the big horror franchises anymore. Now it's all about like ghosts and ghouls, like the Insidiouses, the Conjurings and stuff like that. So I thought that was really cool. I also shout out to Jenna Ortega, the dumbest end line ever, when she shoots, what's her name? Amber. She comes back like Chucky at the end of Child's Play 1, burnt to a crisp. And she goes, I still like the Babadook. You would not say that. Because you don't know who, no one heard you.
She did. But she was one of the killers.
Yeah, she must have been the one on the phone too, right?
She had to have been.
That's what I'm really looking forward to. A lot of people do great breakdowns of who killed who, and like, I'm dying to see that one. Obviously, Dewey was done up by Amber, and I guess we forgot. We haven't even talked. Like, here's the best part about this movie, I think. We haven't mentioned Gale, really, or Sydney, because their roles, I thought, were well done.
Perfect.
Like they weren't overly involved, but they weren't just like little side pieces. They were really the crux of the story in a sense, because these, what the murderers wanted to do and how they lured everybody back was pretty good.
Yeah, I even when Dewey was killed and I saw her sauntering, and I'm like, yeah, I probably wouldn't have come. I mean, it's a movie, so her explanation to me, that was enough of an explanation, even though it wouldn't have been for me to go, when she was just like, this guy's not going to stop now until he kills all of us, so I'm going to kill him first. And I was like, you know what? I wouldn't do it. I'd stay home with my kid. But for a movie, that's good enough for me. Well done. Round of applause for that. So all you need to do for me with like stuff like that is give me something kind of plausible that I can be like, all right, that makes sense. So I thought that was well done. I thought Sydney was great. I always love her in these movies. It was the best Dewey's been in one of these movies, I thought, because I think serious. Maybe playing somebody a little more down and out who was like legitimately like, because he's just so odd in his mannerisms. I kind of like that they made him completely broken, like just an absolute shell of himself. Gail was really good. Courtney Cox is always really good.
I was okay like her.
For her, like for what she is, I think she's perfect.
Great lines in this movie. Also, when she got shot, that I thought they were gonna kill her. I did. Yeah. And when she got shot in that part, when Jenna came on, like, "Do you believe her?" They go, "No." And she pulls out the gun. Like, there was a lot of good like quips in this film. But I will for Courtney Cox, I didn't think I thought she was gonna. I know I predicted her as the killer last week, even though it's kind of just going off the cuff. I did actually think she should have been, in my opinion, if I was writing this film, she would have been the one I would have killed, because I think. Where you mentioned Dewey was down and out, I think that could have brought him to like a rock bottom, and it would have been interesting to see where his character went. Where I'm not as interested in Gail Weathers' character moving forward. Like Gail dying, what that would have done to Dewey would have been more future, like more interesting. And I also just feel like Dewey's more important to the story than Gail is. I know she wrote the books, and I'm sure that's going to tie in here. I know they said no more books, no more movies. Well, clearly this is not the end of the Scream franchise, so I wonder if. Gail gets something's gonna happen where she gets writes about this or something. Because really that's and she talked about like that was another good callback. She's like, this is all my fault. This all never would have happened if I didn't write that book.
And I really enjoyed that part of it, so maybe we go a little bit more into her next time. But they've set it up nicely with Billy's daughter and the two Meeks kids still kind of being around. Yep. And
Tara. So you have Tara, Sam, the Meeks siblings. And Sydney and Gail. Those are our big surviving members, I think, of like characters to note. So that's six characters to go forward with. And if you're doing, let's just say they're going to go with the ever horrible trilogy style. I don't know. Like at this point, like I don't want Sydney to die. Like I thought if they were going to kill her, this would have made sense. But I just like now I think we're so invested. Like it's just going to get sad if she dies. Like literally I'm going to be sad. Maybe that's still going to be the point if they do kill her. But it will be sad. She has a family. There was no reason for her to come. You mentioned she did it because she realized. I missed that part. I was peeing. So I had to actually watch something to see like what happened. I'm like, is this a good time to pee? I think I go. And I come back and like Sydney's in a hospital. I'm like, where did she come from? But roller coaster of a movie, Bill. Anything else? Takeaways, thoughts? On this film for Scream 2022.
No, I thought the plot was pretty good. I just thought execution at certain moments could have made it the best reboot and on par with Scream 1. Because I like the characters enough. I like the story. I like the killers. I like the... They're so obvious that they're actually the killers. Because that was a little bit in the first movie, too. Like, Billy and Stu seemed like the fucking killers at certain points.
Oh, yeah. Throughout the whole movie, they were trying to tell you it was Billy. And then they got to the point where it's like, well, it's so obvious. It's not going to be him.
Yeah. And then, like, they did have the nice thing about, like, he was in jail when she got the call from Ghostface. So it's not him. All that kind of stuff. And it was really well done. It was so new and fresh, but it still hit all the key points in a sensible way. Like, they somehow got back to Stu's kitchen for the ending. And it wasn't like, this is dumb. You were like, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, and that's why I like the Amber tie-in, like, because Stu's house wasn't just like they magically got back to Stu's house. This girl, because think about it, like, clearly when people, anything that happens in this world, unless it becomes a museum, like, you're going to live in that house again. There's horrible things that have happened in many houses. You're going to live in a house in the future, Bill. We don't know what's going to happen. I might live in another house.
I could live in one right now.
Yeah, it's true. I could too. I hope not. God, that would be really eerie. Anyways, but I think... Yeah, I think everything you mentioned there, like I was trying to think of anything else. I think we really covered most of the stuff for our thoughts here. Obviously, you guys can always let us know your thoughts. Make sure you tweet at PopCulturePD, tweet at Billy E. Yes.
Real quick, what's your rankings for these?
Oh, I was going to get, okay. No, you're good. So for me, first, before I go there, I'm going to say, I think right now, Scream 1's, it's never going to be beat. It's just not. All right, something amazing would have to happen for it to be beat. Like if someone said you have to watch in order, we'll just say, and I'm going to stop probably after like the first two or three. Which ones would I watch? So I definitely would watch Scream anytime, any place. I think it's just an amazing film and really fun. I don't know where I'm going to place this one. I think I would realistically potentially go 4 next because of the modernization. I like 2 a lot. Like it goes 2 and 4 after that. And I don't know where this movie fits today. Obviously right now I'd want to see it again. Like I really want to see this movie again. but I don't know if it's going to actually jump over those films. So with that being said, the reason I brought that up is because I believe to me the best, like, I really like this movie. There's a lot of flaws in my head. The Dewey stuff, I don't know. Those scenes just really aggravate the crap out of me, but that's just me. I think my final score, so I was low in the beginning. Then I brought it really high. If we did this the night of, I probably would have had it lower. Like, I really liked it, but there was a lot of issues in my head. So I'm going to give it an 8 out of 11 on the pop culture pile driver scale.
Nice.
What about you?
I'll give it like a 7.5.
Wow, you went lower than me. That's where I had it. I had it there at 8 o'clock this morning. Before I knew what time we were actually going to record, I said 7.5. But I gave it a little bit more because I think also talking about it again, like, I do want to see
it. I could talk myself into a slightly higher score. I could talk myself into an 8. But I'm not – I can't forgive, like, the terrible – timing of some scenes where it's like, I can't, I was looking at you being like kept looking at my fake watch, like, all right, this is ridiculous. Like, well, how long is this gonna fucking take? For me, the rankings, and I think it speaks to how good the horror franchise is. And again, I can't stack them up against many other horror franchises besides like the scary movie franchises. But I don't know. I go one obviously first, and then honestly, it could be a tie between 2, 4, and 5. Right now, I would lean 4 because it's the other freshest. But the scene in 2 where they're climbing through the fucking cab is probably the most tense scene.
No, it's not even a cab, Bill.
It's the police car. That's probably the most tense scene in all of Scream.
Yeah, because this is also before they set all these rules where, like, Sydney's not is going to survive. Like, you never knew.
No, yeah, she could have been dead at that moment. So I'd probably go 1, 4, 5, 2, 3.
Yeah, that's... It's hard, yeah. But
just
this is also
I hate
good...
the killer of 2.
Yeah,
I hate the mom.
Yeah, and the fact that she never saw her the whole time, like, it's just
she's
it's
just
such a weird. She's literally
around.
Walking around. Yeah, yeah, not hiding.
I would have known. You brought a book on the fucking murders.
We don't have to get back into that. Mm-hmm. And they killed Randy. How dare they? So that's basically. So we're giving it like a 7.7.5.
Let's give it an 8.
No, don't give it an 8. It's 7.7.5. We play by the rules. You know that's what we're good at. That's what we thought of Scream. Let us know what you thought. We will be back later this week with some more fresh content. We got the Royal Rumble coming up this week, so I'm thinking maybe we'll go somewhere there. Maybe top 11 Royal Rumbles.
Ooh, did you get my pool money?
Yeah, sure did. Bill, I got all your money. I appreciate that. You're in. If anybody that's hearing this at this point, you want to get in, they're filling up quick. Something got one person, I'm not going to name names, who said, I'll let you know on Monday. I should
Nestle?
Be a yes.
Nestle?
Nope, wasn't him. I'm not going to name the name because I was just like, you wouldn't be shocked. It was just, no, I'm not going to tell you. I'm saying I'm not going to
What if I guess
you.
It?
You have one more guess.
Kevin.
We will catch you guys back here this week. He can be followed at Billy D 2411 on most socials and Billy Yee 2411. Let's get those followers back up for Billy Yee. Come on, the guy lost his account. And I'm at Jason D. Rossi. Sir, follow us at Pop Culture PD. We will hope you have the most amazing week. Subscribe and leave a 5-star review over on the iTunes. Bill, any final words for our fine folks?
Slap it on the biscuit.
Frank says hi.